This week in the NFL has been a wild one, to say the least. And everybody here at Return the Picks wishes the best for Damar Hamlin in his recovery. And it was great this week to be able to record the podcast as good news continued to come out about the Buffalo Bills safety's improving condition as he is in hospital. A big thanks to all of the first responders, medical staff that helped, and everybody else that, of course, helped to get Hamlin in a position where he's starting, hopefully, to make a recovery from what would have been a potential tragedy on the American football field. Myself and George Egator started talking, of course, about that on this podcast, and we started recording as we were in the middle of a conversation. Unfortunately, the conversation was talking about Skip Bayless and his reaction to what happened to Hamlin and the aftermath from that. Sit back and enjoy the Return the Picks podcast.
Over the middle, picked off! Sees it fired, intercepted!
Blitz coming, pass is picked off!
He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore, down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off. Back the other way.
Explain his, the end of his tweet, where I think I think what they were saying is, he's basically saying that now, obviously the game is quite important given the moment, the time of the game in the calendar before the playoffs, being able to reschedule it. And now none of that is important because of what's happened. But I think it's a case of how people see it. I don't see it like that, because the fact that you're able to still mention those other things in terms of how important the game is, how important, and that, I mean, technically, no, that isn't a lie. We know it's important because of the time of year, right? Mm. And seedings and division places, we know that's true. But for me personally, there was no need to mention those other things. It just, there wasn't a need for me. And then just to for him to then go on the show, I mean, obviously Shannon didn't show for the following show, and then he did the one after that. And then just to, like, the way he just carried himself about it, interrupting Shannon after what, 30 seconds, if that, before he could even get his take in. And to be fair, I wasn't actually aware of, I'd never actually watched their show. I'd seen clips on Instagram and hot takes, and I didn't actually realize what Skip was about. I don't even know what the thing was with Brady. I think him and Shannon had something that was said about Brady. I don't really know. Maybe you can fill me in. But I will say he's not a character that I like. I've seen some more. I've gone back and looked at some other things, and you know, you get it. Like, drama creates clicks. Clicks brings in the money, all that kind of stuff. So hey, but I'm just not a fan of him as a person, really.
I never am sure whether to take Skip Bayless as Skip Bayless, the person you see on TV, compared to Skip Bayless, the person that he actually is. And I always wonder how much of a line you have to go by. To put it into some context, like, Adrian Durham, I think, is one of the best broadcasters in the United Kingdom. He's phenomenal at what he does, and he's very good at making sure that he says things that generate interaction with an audience. Yep. Now, whether he believes it or not, he knows that he has a job to do that, and he can also be very good at finding valid researched points to back up whatever side of an argument he's taking, and whoever's on the show, like when it was him and Goffey, would take that thing. And that whole Skip and Shannon is seemingly based around that kind of talks more model of generating interaction and generating hits and all that. So I'll always take that with a pinch of salt. I will back him up with this, of saying that in a tweet before that tweet, and in that tweet itself, he said nothing matters except for the safety of Damar Hamlin. Like, and that is completely true. Everything that gets said around this whole argument, the most important thing is that Damar Hamlin gets through this incident as unscathed as possible. It's looking promising at the moment, with the Bills released a statement this Thursday saying that physicians caring for Damar Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center have said that Damar has shown remarkable improvement over the last 24 hours. He's still critically ill, has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact, which is fantastic to hear. His lungs continue to heal, and he's making steady progress. There's also been discussion about how he's been able to interact with doctors. Apparently asked who won the game, doctors replied, "You won the game of life. Don't worry, Damar." So that's all incredibly positive news. I do think, while it's ill-timed, Skip in that tweet definitely was saying what every NFL owner that is involved in a playoff push right now, what the Kansas City Chiefs and what every executive at the NFL was thinking in that moment. And when something happens like this, it's a very obviously emotional time, but I guarantee there are a lot of people in suits that were making very unemotional decisions and discussions in the immediate aftermath, probably while Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were still on air talking about it, of what are we going to do. And so it's crass, I think, for Skip to have kind of done that and aired that publicly. But I think you'd find even a lot of NFL fans probably asking similar questions at that moment. So
you're right.
It's the only time I'd ever stick up for Skip Bayless in any way, you know.
I get it. And if you look at, for example, fantasy football, let's go down that route. And you and I know in our league in particular, I was up against Dre. We were tied. By the time the game stopped, we were tied on 87 points exactly. And naturally, the game comes to a halt. Of course, first and foremost, you're thinking of Damar Hamlin and what's happening there. But as a human being, like you've said, in particular, those in suits and those who are sitting in the offices, those in New York heading up the league and everything, they're probably thinking, okay, what's the fallout from this? What happens in terms of the games? And that is what a lot of people will be thinking 100% because we are human beings and we can't ever deny that. And if anybody said otherwise, I think they would be lying. I think the difference is vocalizing it and putting it out there in a way that kind of comes across insensitive. And I do agree with you. Mm. His tweet before that tweet did say everything that you did say, correct, which is why it led me to think, well, the rest of what you said in your following tweet didn't need to be said because, you know, you've basically said the right thing, because all that did matter and still does matter. And yes, he's getting better, is Damar Hamlin. But then why follow up with that tweet, which just is strange? And some people were saying it's because, you know, he wants to be, again, I didn't know much about Skip personally, apart from what I've seen, small clips here and there that they go back and forth, him and Shannon, on Instagram and YouTube and social media. But I just don't feel like it was needed. He'd got his point across quite well in the previous tweet. And like I said, that was all kind of that, all that needed to be said. And whilst you are correct, most people, be it NFL fan, head coach, whether people like that or not, that obviously is true. People in the league, in the suits, people in New York, just everybody who's watching the game and has some kind of involvement naturally would have been thinking, we're in January, and the Super Bowl is next month. These games, obviously, everyone tuned in. And for us, it's what, the 1:15 a.m. game, I think it was?
Yeah.
You want to stay up for that game, and then something drastic happens. Unfortunately, you know, it happens in the game that we play. And again, you're human to be thinking that, okay, what happens now? And then there's obviously the talk about, we don't know for sure, but there was talk about the league. I say the league, that they wanted the game to continue, essentially. I don't know how true that is. We're not going to know. We did hear that they said, and it was announced on the game commentary, I can't remember. I think you said it was Troy Aikman. I forget who else it was.
Joe Buck and Aikman, wasn't it?
They would have been told by someone that there was going to be 5 minutes and then, you know, they were going to continue. And I don't know where that came from, but all I know is Sean McDermott and I forget his name. Is it Zach Taylor?
Zachy Taylor, yeah.
Obviously had their conversations and essentially I'm sure they decided, look, this can't happen. But whether the league said, you know, did actually want the game to continue or not, we're never going to know. But the main thing that matters is Damar Hamlin and his health and the latest update, because pretty much like you and I and everybody else, I've just been scrolling Twitter every now and again, just every day, every second of the day, just refreshing, trying to find information. And obviously we've got that information today, which is great news. Seems like he's heading in the right direction. And that's the fact that he was able to ask, albeit written down, who won the game, says to me, you know, things are going the right way.
Yeah.
After an unfortunate incident like that, you know, you're not necessarily thinking that maybe he's going to remember what happened, but for him to, you know, instantly be taken back to the moment where T. Higgins obviously, you know, tried to get the extra yard and as a standard, so look, that's something that I've done 100 times over, right? I play running back. And I play a physical style of running back. And that means if you're in my way, I'm going to try and truck through you. And it's part of the game. It is a part of the game. But this isn't a part of the game that you want to happen. You don't ever wish ill on anybody. Yes, you might have rivalries in the Patriots and the Colts or Green Bay and Chicago, but you never want anything like that to happen. Mm. But yeah, you know, it's just one of them things that, that can happen. But I think we've seen the generosity of fans all over the world who have, you know, obviously clubbed together to raise, it's got to be over 7 million now, I think, for his charity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good news, isn't it?
Kind of smashed that $1,500 target that he had for the charity. Yeah,
I think it was 2.5 they were after.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, I mean, it's great to see. And the fact that he's now on the road to recovery is even better.
Yeah, it's, I think just finally to clear up the skip thing, I think one of the biggest outrages from it was the fact that you're somebody that profits from being that sort of an instigator anyway. So you've done the right thing with your tweet previously saying it's all about Hamlin, get better, get healthy. And some people definitely would see you now trying to profit on a possible tragedy to generate more attention for yourself, which, not to be too critical of people, because there are a lot of genuine thoughts and prayers, tweets and messages out there, but there are some messages out there from people that it's like, it's not about you. Like, you're trying to make what is a horrendous situation about you. It's one of those times where, like, personally, I'd definitely sit off Twitter. Like, just the fact that you are giving the right energy and sympathy to somebody in a horrific moment is a great thing to do, I think. Vocalizing it on Twitter is a dangerous kind of, well, is that so everybody else sees you kind of doing it and that? Mm-hmm. And I think because Skip is in the position that he's in, there is a very natural reaction to jump to that. I mean, I think Kendrick Perkins, the former Boston Celtics NBA player, was like, you vile scum of a human being or something. And it was like, whoa.
There were a lot of celebrities, if you like, or players of different sport accolades in whichever sport. And I mean, when that happened, I was on Twitter and I was actually reading the particular thread underneath Skip's tweet, and it was full on. It was savage, and I mean, can't really be surprised, I suppose.
You're tweeting this like 20 minutes after the guys hit the deck and you've seen the ambulances come out and everything. Like, it's just ugly. It's it's unfortunately, I think, the ugly side of like modern day sports journalism, modern day NFL journalism. You know, we on this podcast have made loads of jokes about how, like, you know, somebody will do something horrendous, but don't worry. It's Antonio Brown will do something one week, but don't worry. Somebody else will do something the next week and you'll forget about what Antonio Brown did, throwing penis-shaped gummy bears at his girlfriend or whatever it was he did.
Yeah.
So it moves on very quickly until something like this happens, where the news cycle doesn't move on and the whole league almost is shutting down because of this moment. And I think it's poorly timed, but I would hope to suggest that Skip Bayless wasn't thinking in that way, or if he was, he regrets it and sees it as a massive error of judgment and is very sorry for what he did. And as we say, it is kind of all about Damar Hamlin and the efforts that people like Denny Kellington did, the Buffalo Bills athletic trainer who gave him CPR on the field, and the Bills have been great in kind of giving him an accolade in this moment and say, you know, big reason why Hamlin is probably in the condition he's in right now. And I think in general in sport at this point, we've seen it happen, obviously, the Christian Eriksen incident at the Euros for Denmark. We had the Fabrice Muamba incident at Tottenham a few years ago that have affected soccer. I can't recall the last time I've seen anything like this in an American football game, particularly in the NFL, which staggers belief in that sense because of the number of hits that people will take to the chest and the potential for something like this to happen. But doesn't it just show how lucky we are as well to be watching sport where you've got EMTs, defibrillators, ambulances on the spot like that, that can, 20 years ago, this is so much worse, and we're not having even a ray of sunshine possibly at the end of this conversation, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And 20 years ago, safety was nowhere near the same. Equipment was nowhere near the same. The danger was sky high, and you wouldn't have had the same level of care or service, the instant reaction. Like you said, that's probably the main reason why he is in this condition, because of the fast response. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's not something you want to watch back, but, you know, he obviously collapses to the floor beside one of the players. The ref, one of the refs sees him and instantly waves, you know, the double hands and the hat. And then you've got the players who are signaling too. And I think medical staff, coaches, etc., when they see players doing that kind of, you know, get over here quick, you always know it's not a site you want to see, and you know it's something you need to respond to. And that essentially is why he's in the situation that he is, and he's able to recover, and hopefully continues to recover.
Yeah, and look, even whether he's able to step on an American football field again or not doesn't really matter at this point. The fact that hopefully he will be able to recover from this will be great. Not to be Skip Bayless, but like, we do have a question of what is going to happen at this point. Like, have you heard any signs? I mean, I've been involved in a WhatsApp message group surrounding kind of things that are potentially taking place for the postseason. And there is a apparent ongoing discussion about maybe shifting the playoffs down. That is a potential possibility.
Wow.
Which would mean the AFC and NFC Championship games would be on that weekend of the Pro Bowl. Whether the Pro Bowl would still take place or not, I don't know about that. This is just what we're kind of doing, and it would be a shortened week then going into a Super Bowl with just 1 week between, obviously, the normal kind of game schedule of Sunday to Sunday for the championship games and then into a Super Bowl, which apparently hasn't been ruled out yet.
That's interesting. About maybe half an hour ago, again on Twitter, because it seems to be one of the fastest places to get news nowadays,
Elon's raking it in on this one.
Tell me about it, right? Take over and now this. I actually saw quite a few things that said the game was potentially just not going to be played.
That is another option.
I mean, your take about what you heard, that's. I mean, the Pro Bowl is very different now. It's more flag-based. It's not so much the NFL players, because, I mean, they didn't care about it anyway, really. Mm. So that's not a bad idea. I think it's more skills-based, more flag-based, which is, you know, it's showcasing the sport of flagging it. Those who get to take part, I suppose it gives them a great opportunity as well. But, you know, when you have exceptional circumstances, you've got, at this point in the season, I guess we have to say, you have to try and find a way around it. And I did see quite a few things about the game just not being played. But that take about potentially playing it on a Pro Bowl weekend makes some sense to me too, actually.
I kind of like the idea of Pro Bowl has all the skills stuff and all that fun. And if you're doing flag as well, kind of non-contact, you can incorporate that into like a Saturday day of skills for the Sunday AFC and NFC Championship game. It would almost be like having, in the NBA, you have Saturday skills night, Sunday All-Star game.
Mm.
It would make the Pro Bowl a bit more like that. It would be like the precursor to the last three games, basically, of the NFL season.
Yeah.
And I kind of think it would work, because we will have got used to that Saturday football as well, particularly with college football out of the way at that point. That's all going to finish off on the 10th, I think it is, of January, with the Monday night.
TCU.
Yeah, TCU against Georgia. Yeah.
Mm.
So that'll all finish up by then easily. Mm-hmm. And we'll have had playoff football Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. So why not kind of keep that rhythm, if you're the NFL, of Saturday and Sunday, keep that whole weekend being all about your sport and nothing else?
I'm with you. I actually really like it. I like the idea quite a lot, because, again, it brings, where the Pro Bowl has had a decline in the viewers, the attention, no one really cares for it, if I'm honest. Mm. I think doing it this way, it's the first time we're going to have, I guess, a different change in the scheme, being that it's more flag and more skills based. And then you follow that up with the Sunday, you know, bang, here's the game. I'm really for it. I really love that idea. I'm sure by the time I jump off this and have a look again on Twitter, that's probably circulating too. But I actually really like it. I really do like it. And like you say, if they do go down that road, it might be something that they end up sticking with. You know, I like it. I'm all for that.
Because it's also interesting as well, because you get that. The situation we got at the moment is the Chiefs are playing on Saturday night.
Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah.
And if they lose, then it opens up the door for the Bills or the Bengals to potentially have that number one seed,
yeah.
Depending on what happens in their game. So you can imagine, like, and again, NFL execs are like kind of rolling the dice here. Just Chiefs, just win. Win on Saturday night. It makes life easier for everybody. We can then cancel the game. We can do a proper kind of look. We're not going to bother with the game. We'll call it a tie. Both these teams are going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be weird. There'll be an asterisk against this year, but let's have that. Mm. If the Chiefs lose, big can of worms, and then more discussions with everybody in the suits behind the scenes about what actually happens with the playoffs and everything. So it's
the Raiders, right?
Kansas City. Yeah, Chiefs Raiders on Saturday night.
Jarrett Stidham, who wasn't too bad apart from the three interceptions. He looked all right. I dread to think what car... Yeah, I dread to think what Carr was thinking when, you know, he was sitting in that rock and hitting open Devontae Adams and everything like that. I don't know, man. That was a strange... happy for Jarrett, and I'm just thinking Derek Carr had left. He's left. I think he left Vegas. Followed him on Instagram or whatever else it was. But that relationship seems to have soured quite badly.
Important for Stidham and Devontae as well, considering there's a lot of talk about Devontae walking out with Carr, being like BFFs from college and everything. And then I wonder if Devontae sees some of those catches coming his way. He's like, oh, I could stick around, actually. Like, well, I could stick this out.
The NFL, you know, like we say, not for long. So I'm not sure. I think Devontae's 30 now or pushing 30. A lot of the great receivers are actually, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and a lot of the guys that we love to watch are hitting that mark where they're 28, 29, 30, 31. It won't be long before they, you know, they hit that peak, or if they're not already there, and start to slowly come down. Same way we've, you know, something I've said to myself before, we've had the QB changeover period. No Big Ben, no Drew, no Manning brothers. It's all very different now, you know. You've got the guys coming out from college in this year's draft, which everyone's so hyped about. In particular, myself, being a Colts fan.
But it doesn't matter which quarterback you put in there. We've seen this.
No, it doesn't. Just give me someone other than Matt Ryan.
Nick not even Foles. Matt Ryan's fault.
Like, no, but I want someone who's mobile.
Line? Just get an offensive line.
I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. We've just decimated our O-line for whatever reason. But I want someone who's at least mobile and isn't just going to fumble the ball at every given opportunity. Matt Ryan was, you know, he was great. He's had his time. Not great for us, but he was great over his career. Unfortunately, he's on the back end of some horrible comebacks. One being Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and the other, whilst he wore the blue and white uniform for my Indianapolis Colts, with now the NFL's leading historic comeback of all time against the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, that's got to hurt. But out with the old, in with the new. I think we have the chance to climb up to number four, I think, at our highest. We can drop no lower than sixth. So, look, so long as Ballard, Jeff Saturday, I don't think we'll be there much longer, but Ballard and Jim Mercer, so long as they do the right thing, no more QB carousel, go and pick the quarterback and let's build around there. No more playing games. Us Colts fans have been so quiet and humbled and, we're not Bills fans. We don't hype. We're not Eagles fans. We don't start trouble. That's what I hear. Just saying.
You're having a go.
Just saying. And it's time, you know, to flip the script. There's enough of this QB carousel, new QB every single season. And let's actually get something going here, man. Because, you know, we've got a stud at JT. And I'm kind of glad he's, you know, not playing anymore for the rest of the season. Because there's no, what is it? What's the point? We're 4-11-1 or whatever it is. Playing against Houston coming up. Dare I say it? I think we need Houston. We need to lose to Houston. And we need, I forget what the other game is. Who else we need to win their game. And it could happen. It could well happen. And then we think we climb up to fourth, which I will take all day, every day.
Oh, I can't believe you're saying climb up to fourth rather than drop down. Dropping down to fourth in the draft. Come on.
Oh, man. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I know, but this is the losing season mentality of,
man.
Think how many games we can tank before the end of the season. Think how high we can get on that draft.
It's a done deal. We're a lost team. We're a lost franchise. I do think we need a bit of a cleanup shot because it's been this way for so long. Trust Ballard and all that. He's a smart businessman. Doesn't like spending money. He likes to try and get guys on the cheap. But look what he's done for us, you know. I mean, we haven't done anything great this season. We've had some flashes from some players, but it's time to fully move on, in my opinion. And even if it means getting Ballard out the door, I'm actually down for that now. I've kind of had enough. Can't be wasting the talent in guys like Jonathan Taylor. It's just not fair. But no, he doesn't deserve this. Shaq Leonard, he doesn't deserve this. You know, some guys are balled their asses off. Like Stephon Gilmore has won games for us on his own, and this is his first season with us. So it's not fair. Defense really have done us, have balled out. I know they obviously basically, you know, took that mauling to the Vikings offense, but
they balled out until they conceded 36 straight.
Yes, and then, horrible. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was too good to be true. I think you messaged me, right? We were messaging at one point, I think.
Briefly in that evening, yeah.
And then it just turned to shit, so.
Honestly, because I've never disliked the Colts. Like, I always respected the Manning era, whether it was like, it made it the most irritating team to play on a Madden game when I was growing up, because every time you call a play and then they simulate what Peyton does, which is changing the play at the line all the time, and all that kind of stuff. But I always respected that Colts team. I always loved Edgerrin James, obviously, Marvin Harrison and everyone, like Reggie Wayne.
Reggie, Freeney.
Dallas Clark. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just a great team to watch. Glad they got their Super Bowl and got their ring eventually and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been like quite a likable team over the last few years, particularly with Andrew Luck as like the real Mr. Good Guy. And then Luck leaves and the whole operation has gone into disarray. And honestly, Jeff Saturday coming back would have been better playing on the offensive line this year rather than as a head coach. I mean, and you're I know you're having a go at like, well, not having a go, but like saying, you know, Matt Ryan didn't perform. Matt Ryan has had probably three of the worst offensive lines in the NFL in the last 3 years.
Correct.
And if anybody is bringing him into a building, you cannot not know that Matt Ryan is a pocket quarterback with almost zero speed and mobility.
Correct.
So if you're expecting, and let's face it, that's what the Colts did with Philip Rivers as well. Mm-hmm. You were bringing in a veteran pocket quarterback. So you have to have had the idea of building the line rather than anything else and making sure that line can hold. And if it can't hold, then you've got problems. And it irked me when, and I'm not saying this against you at all, but against Colts fans in general, when they were like, oh, look at this, is what Atlanta fans were talking about. Matt Ryan, he's rubbish. Like, dude, the guy's got like maybe a second and a half, 2 seconds to get the ball out, which even for an Aaron Rodgers is a short amount of time. Like, that's not a lot at all. This is not a quarterback issue in Indianapolis. This is an organizational issue. And it is, as you say, a rebuilding issue at this point. It just depends how far you need to rebuild and whether you end up actually in a more depressing line, I guess. Whether you end up during, well, look at like Corey Dillon at the Cincinnati Bengals back in the day.
Man.
Exceptional talent wasted in a team that wasn't very good and probably had his best days behind one of the worst teams and worst offensive lines in the NFL. And if you're rebuilding, that's a Jonathan Taylor that will just never be perhaps what we think he can be, aside from maybe the last year or so.
This is why I'm so frustrated, because we saw what Jonathan Taylor could do last season when our O-line actually held their own. And yeah, I would have taken Wentz back actually, because he offered some mobility. Yes, he threw three TDs when he came in place for Taylor Heineke on the weekend. But again, you're not wrong. It's an organization issue from top down. And the O-line clearly just couldn't get it together, whether it's Bernard Raymond or Will Fries. There was a lot of issues on that O-line and we just couldn't get it together. And they know that. You bring in Jeff Saturday, who's, you know, an O-line guy himself, and he knows what that's all about. But it, unfortunately, you know, for a guy like Matt Ryan, who is a pocket passer, and in the games where we did hold our own, you could see how effective Matt Ryan was when he's in the pocket, no pressure, and he's able to get the ball out. He just, you know, can't be trusted to run the ball. He's not that guy. but at the same time, I'm just fed up of getting a new quarterback every single season. Naeem Hines said it before he swiftly departed over to the Bills. He was like, look at the Tennessee Titans. They've had Tannehill for a while. They know the snap count. They know the chemistry. They have the relationship. They don't need to, you know, question things or go over things every season. We sit over here as a huge, supposedly AFC South rival, and we can never seem to beat them because they just stick it on us every season. And every season we're having to learn new schemes, new cadence, new chemistry, building a relationship with the quarterback. He needs to build chemistry with the wide receivers to let him know where the ball placement was, where they want their ball placement. Mm-hmm. It's just not how you run a franchise. It isn't. You need the continuity, the relationship, the chemistry, and you cannot have that if you have a different quarterback every single season.
And that is the most important position to have chemistry in. I mean, chemistry on the offense in general, but a quarterback and receiver, a quarterback in the O-line, it doesn't get more important than that. And, you know, a quarterback and the running back, for instance. I mean, if you've got a guy that can't even hand it off and struggles to have the chemistry of whether they want it in their gut or whether they want it looser or whether they want to strip it out of your hand, like all of those tiny, I mean, as you'll know, as a running back, like different QBs and different running backs hand the ball in different ways. I mean, if you're doing that, as you say, every single year, it's nigh on impossible to get any sort of consistency with the results and the performances you're putting on the field if there's no consistency in the people that you're dealing with. Yeah,
massively. It's the finer details, like you say. When I played the sport and the different quarterbacks that I played with, when I play with the same quarterback season in, season out, honestly, it's like clockwork. you know exactly what they want you to do. If they're in a pickle, you know what they want you to do. You just do it automatically because you know them. When it's someone new, honestly, it makes a massive, massive difference. And that's just at a UK level. Mm. We're talking about the NFL. You know, you make one play up and your DMs are blowing up and people are trying to attack you. It's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But I think it's just time. We move on as a Colts fan. As a Colts operation, a fan base, an organization, I think the fans deserve so much better. Jim Irsay, you know, he concerns me at times with his cryptic tweet. I mean, all off season, it was all this trash. I'm going to say about being all in and being fed up of the Tennessee Titans dunking on us every season, and it's going to change, it's going to turn around. Then it was the Baker Mayfield talk, and I kind of accepted it because I didn't know what else to do. Then it was the Derek Carr talk, and it was like, all right, I love Derek Carr too. And then it spread to Matt Ryan. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'll take Matt Ryan. I don't know if it's because, if not being a Colts fan, I'd be a Falcons fan, because I was a big fan of the Falcons era with Tony Gonzalez, Devontae Freeman, obviously Julio. I loved everything they did. Even
you're
Steve
allowed
Jackson.
To say Michael Vick, by the way. There's no
Michael Vick, no, Michael Vick, no, Michael Vick too. But I just liked that particular era.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's time to. Well, here's something I want to ask you. I don't know what you were planning to ask next, but on a slight segue, I've been having loads of conversations with people about Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
On the theme of quarterbacks, obviously he didn't sign a deal. I believe his mum is his, not so much agent, but I think she looks after his funds and she represents him in some kind of way, shape or form. And I guess the threat of him not signing was injury, because essentially if you want the big money that he was after, the Ravens organization, I suppose, want to see, I guess, that you're worth it. Now, I don't know if, I did an episode with Jeff Reinbold, and he kind of made me see the light a little bit, because initially I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't know if the Ravens have done enough to try and support Lamar with what he needs to bring the best out of him. And then I realized the Ravens have cloned their entire offense down to their backup to even replicate Lamar Jackson, just because that they've sold into that style of play. And it made me realize, actually, I suppose they have committed. Yes, you've got Mark Andrews, his number one safety blanket at the tight end. They tried things with Hollywood Brown, didn't work out. He's obviously gone to the Cardinals. They had Sammy Watkins. Has Sammy Watkins gone back there, I think? Sammy Watkins has gone gone from the Packers to the Ravens. You've got Marcus Robinson, who's a vet wide receiver. DuVernay couldn't stay healthy. Rashad Bateman couldn't stay healthy. And it's just, I just feel for the guy, and I'm wondering to myself now, does he stay at the Ravens or does he go elsewhere? And if you think he goes elsewhere, where would you think he should go?
Okay, so I will always preface this sort of thing with what Jim Mora Jr. did in Atlanta in that year was the completely wrong way to design an offense around a mobile quarterback. And I would argue that the Baltimore Ravens have made a similar sort of mistake, maybe, to what Jim Mora Jr. did, of basing it around Lamar's running game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was Lamar Jackson, I would probably want to end up somewhere for the good of the longevity of my career at a team that, I'm not saying it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, but a team that has somebody like a Doug Peterson, who has shown that he can do very good things with quarterbacks and mold them into being good passers, particularly from the pocket. We've seen that slowly evolve this year with Trevor Lawrence, for instance. Whether there are enough good minds at bad teams for Lamar Jackson to go somewhere where they won't get excited about mobility, because at the end of the day, look, Lamar's not healthy again. That's two seasons now in a row where
exactly
suddenly he's been bumped out of a year. And you can't be getting bumped out of a season at this point in a season. Maybe early on in the season, all right, we'll take that as a knock, you're back for the playoffs. We can't be losing our starting quarterback going into the playoffs, not at all. So either you have a new head coach in Baltimore, or you have a new ethos on get Lamar to throw more from the pocket and work the mobility angle as a secondary angle, which I always think is the way to go with a quarterback in the NFL. It's not college. It's not, you know, a 21-year-old third year dunking on 18-year-old corners. Like, these are people like Bobby Wagner be coming off the inside linebacker position and destroying you once you get to the line of scrimmage. It's not going to be pretty. Where he would go, I mean, you need someone with a lot of money and a lot of room.
Yep.
I mean, if the Dolphins could get rid of Tua and put Lamar in, that would be a better Dolphins team by a long way and would look way more like a Super Bowl contender, particularly after what we've seen from Tua in the back end of this year.
That's very interesting. Two things on that one. So I remember, again, I think Jeff as well, he mentioned something about Lamar is actually quite a decent deep ball guy, except once Bateman was out and DuVernay was out, there is nobody to throw the ball to downfield. You don't have the guy who can take the top off the defenses, take the top off the cover too, and, you know, create some distraction somewhere else, which essentially leads to him running the ball. Because at the start of the season, I believe he had quite a few, I think a majority of his touchdowns came from his arm. At the beginning of the season, I remember seeing those and thinking to myself, wow, he's shutting up a lot of the haters who said he couldn't throw the ball, who couldn't pass the ball. So I get that stance, because obviously we know what he can do on the ground. Doing that comes with a lot of risk, and lo and behold, he's now injured again. One of the things that Jeff also mentioned to me was the fact that they've got their one, well, J.K. Dobbins, I believe, is back. I don't know about Gus Edwards. Again, they've been quite unlucky. They seem to just always be banged up, that team. Yeah. I don't know what it is. That AFC North, I mean, the Ravens just, I don't know what is going on, but they just cannot stay healthy for whatever reason. And that goes all the way down to Lamar Jackson. But there was some talk about, obviously, Lamar will be back at some point, and it's hopefully going to, you know, they're in the postseason. They want him back for the playoffs. Maybe they get DuVernay or Bateman back. I can't remember which one of them was on IR for long term, so maybe not. But that's why they bring in Sammy Watkins, because they need cover there. So you've got Watkins, you've got Robinson, who's the vet. You've got Isaiah Likely, the tight end, who does well. He's a big-bodied guy, quite athletic. And obviously, you've got Andrews too. And there's a talk about, you know, giving them the playoff push. Because playoff football is all about being healthy. If your squad is healthy, you have all the chance in the world. If you're not, if you don't have, you know, guys who are healthy enough to play, you can kind of forget it. Look at Patrick Mahomes when he plays against the Bucks with his turf toe. He couldn't do anything. Mm. But my second point is a flip. And a kind of a segue to the Miami Dolphins. The Tua hype prior to the season, well, no, let's say not hype, the Tua, I'm going to say disrespect, prior to the start of the season was very, very, very loud, to the point where Tua was even questioning himself whether he thought he'd be able to perform. And I do think it's fair to say he did perform. He did really well. And I think, I forget what some of the stats were now that he's done for the season, but he's tied first or second in quite a few categories. They have fallen off a cliff. I was out there saying I thought they'd be able to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
There was a point. They looked like they were actually quite a scary side that could take the top off anybody. And that waddle underneath with Hill over the top is going to give you an advantage somewhere in that open field if you can give two at a time and if he can throw the deep ball.
Yeah. But so there you go. That's my question. So do you think that Tua still isn't capable of, is it just the deep ball in particular, or do you think he's just not a great quarterback, or he's just not well suited to the Dolphins in particular?
I think Tua has shown us that he can play in the NFL, but I think we've also seen now his ceiling. Given the talent, well, maybe not, his ceiling might be harsh because obviously players can develop, but where he is right now, you won't get more out of Tua until he improves his individual game than what we've seen this year. And I also think that he was chirping on, right, about certain deep balls throughout this season that were short and underthrown or inaccurate. Yeah. And it was the athleticism and the reactions of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on a number of those that were getting him out of jail. And then he's kind of like, see, look at me, I can throw a deep ball. Which shows to me that you've still got that chip on your shoulder as well, and you're not getting rid of it however well you play. I also think Tua's decision-making still wasn't great in certain points. I would love for it to be a case, not because I like the Dolphins in any way, but I'd love it to be a case that the fragility and the sometimes poor decision-making we've seen towards the end of this season with Tua is because of how banged up he's been. Because let's not forget, like week five, week four, we were asking, you know, is this guy going to be able to play again at all this season, considering what we saw in some of those hits and the concussion he had against the Bengals. So I would hope that maybe the ineptitude we've seen from him on occasion down the stretch is maybe just because he's not healthy yet. But I still am not in on Tua Tagovailoa. I am still always in on the idea that a great player in certain positions on an offense, in the same way Stephon Diggs elevated Josh Allen massively. Josh Allen has made more steps to improve himself, but Stephon Diggs, when Allen was still raw, took Josh Allen to another level. And I think we've seen Tyreek Hill's impact on that team take the Dolphins to another level, and Mike McDaniels as well. Mike McDaniels is creating in Miami what Kyle Shanahan's created in San Francisco. He's trying to create a quarterback-proof system where, because they don't use Tua's legs very often. They don't run him that often or anything like that. The hits he's taken that have been bad have mainly come from him standing in the pocket and being slow to release at times. So I think you could, that's why I think a Lamar would be really fun to put him in there instead, because I think he's probably got a stronger, better arm, which works well with Hill. And I think McDaniels wouldn't base a system around Lamar's running game. I think he would be smart enough to base a system around, this is our system, use your legs if you need to, which I always think is way more dangerous when a quarterback does that compared to when a quarterback is designed to be mobile, because that doesn't last for long enough. And the longevity of Lamar's career and his career deals that he's going to be offered, I think, will probably show that, because there are going to be a lot of NFL franchises that will look at him as a free agent and go, you are an MVP, but 2 seasons now without being healthy.
Yeah.
Where is the line of your season for us coming up this year if we play you as a running quarterback?
Yeah.
And it was interesting. We spoke about this last week with Dre, and he kind of mentioned something of people like Tua and like Lamar, because they're still chirping about like the negative press that they've had, it continues to feed that fire almost. Like Lamar still kind of makes the odd thing about, oh, not bad for a running back, or, oh yeah, just a running quarterback and all this kind of thing. And it's like, dude, you had a good game, great, but like, just get on and play. And for me as an Eagles fan, and I gave Hurts more crap than anybody else going into this season. I was more negative than any of you guys on the podcast with Verge and everything. And like, he, not once has he gone like, see, I can throw accurately or anything like that. He's just stood there in press conferences and been that like boring cliche quarterback that you kind of want as an owner and as a fan. Like, unless you're Joe Burrow and can bring that swagger without being like massively douchey and arrogant, you kind of just want the guy that just stands up there and says, hey, look, we're going to go out there, we're going to improve on this, we're going to get better at this, blah, blah, boom. Let the wide receivers, corners, let the linebackers, let your offensive line be the fun guys that like get a bit crazy. And starting quarterback, nah, just get down, do the job, get out of there, go home, on to the next one. Like kind of all good head coaches as well. And I still, again, that's an attitude thing with Lamar that I'm a bit like, you're still carrying that chip. And I'm not sure you necessarily should, considering what you've accomplished already. So it's obviously still kind of playing on you a bit too.
Yeah, I think it's hard to not, because those guys in particular, they get so much stick for playing the type of play that they do and being the style of quarterback that they are. But something that I was going to mention before I flipped the script was Deshaun Watson, I dare to say his name. Obviously, he got that ridiculous contract. And now NFL owners have pretty much decided they don't want to give that kind of contract to anybody. And that's, I guess, what Lamar kind of wanted. So I think the Sean Watson contract has kind of set a benchmark, which for them, or for owners and general managers and whatever, they don't want to do that again. And I know Lamar wanted the big paycheck, he wanted the bag, and I suppose rightly so. But now that they've seen, and yes, it's only his first season back, you know, he's going to be rusty. This is Watson, obviously, after not playing for however long. But being able to give that kind of, I mean, it's insane when you think about it. It's absolutely insane to give him that kind of money based off of what, like, really?
Was it like $300 million guaranteed?
It was something stupid. Bear in mind, he didn't actually want to go to the Browns in the first place.
Yeah.
He had already turned them down, except the money came calling this time around. And hasn't necessarily done anything for the franchise. But yeah, I think he's going to find it hard to get the money he's after now. Again, in particular, because this is another season where he's been injured, unless he turns it around, comes back for playoff football and magic happens, then we can maybe open that door again. But until then, I think it's going to be slightly difficult. And that was one of the fears that I had. If he did get injured, or if for whatever reason his weapons have gone down and now he can't really perform like he should. But a completely different question here for you. How are you guys going to do without Lane Johnson? Because you don't do very well without him.
Yeah, it's not Not ideal. I thought we were going to avoid the Eagles.
No, George. The thing is, right, I'm a Colts fan. I can't really say anything, but because I'm a Colts fan, I can say everything because there's nothing left.
There's no dog in the fight, so you might as well fight everyone.
There is nothing left. So, and again, coming back to Jeff, we had this conversation too, and a few things I didn't realize. But Lane Johnson, I think Miles Sanders is still a bit banged up, and obviously Jalen Hurts himself, whether they're just saving them because they don't necessarily need him, but then you've lost two games in a row with Gardner Minshew, who's not awful, but, you know, things just didn't go the Eagles' way. But Lane Johnson, I think the stat without him, you've lost like 11 of 19 games. I don't know, something crazy like that.
They're like 21-4 without Lane Johnson or something stupid like that, or with and without Lane Johnson or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mental.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's an abdominal tear and he's decided to put off surgery to try and play. Now, I don't know how wise that is. We know about NFL and being a tough guy and trying to stick it out doesn't always end up the right way. So my question is Lane Johnson being out enough to derail the rest of your season?
I don't think so, despite how good Lane Johnson is. That offensive line is at full fitness, has been incredible this year, particularly with dealing with the style of offense that the Eagles play, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. The kind of behind the line decision making of on the RPOs. I mean, there was a funny one this week where I guess Kelsey had got the wrong call or something because he was 15 yards downfield blocking a linebacker Minshew's throwing out to the flats in the sideline to Sanders and negates like a big gain. But I still think, because the whole of that offensive line is so strong, sure, you'd love to run it behind a Lane Johnson, and definitely you'd rather have that sort of protection for any quarterback, let alone a Hurts that's got a banged up shoulder at the moment. But because I think that line is good enough to be able to carry through player football without it, if it has Jalen Hurts, I think you need to have one or the other. You need to either have Minshew with that full line, or you have Jalen Hurts and the mobility comes back in that then creates the ability to take the pressure off that offensive line of the absence of Lane Johnson. But it isn't great.
How is Jalen Hurts? I'm not too sure what the latest was.
So he's back practicing this week. He was really close to go last week. That was the thing. And they were like, you know what? We don't have to play him. And I'm a firm believer, if that BS holding call on Landon Dickerson that wipes off the Gamewell touchdown doesn't get called.
Yeah.
And that is genuinely criminal. And it pleased me so much that the Fox guys were like, I hate it when referees just see a guy going down like that and they haven't seen the whole play.
That was awful. It's one of the worst. He basically got pancaked. And that's what happens. You get inside the shoulder pads, you grab the shoulder pads, and you drive. You drive them so hard that they fall backwards into the ground. It's never holding in a million years. And I'll sit there and say that until, you know, the cows come home. So that is really shocking, to be fair. Very shocking.
And that touchdown came at a time when it was like momentum still coming with the Eagles. And you're like, right, touchdown, brilliant. We are right back in this game suddenly. We're only, you know, 6 points down or whatever it was at that point. And then everything after that, again, the Eagles made another good charge, got back into that game, and then it slowed down properly. And that's when you were like, now we're missing Hurts, because you don't trust Minshew to keep scoring in the same way against Dallas. Even though the Eagles continued to score, I don't trust Minshew to be the guy that goes toe-to-toe in a non-stop slugfest. I don't trust him to be the guy that is going to get out of danger when that Saints defensive line is coming for him in that same way. Hurts, on the other hand, should. I think they rested him last week with the hope that worst comes to worst, he will then be fully fit for the Giants and then have another week off if they can go out and beat the Giants. And maybe, just maybe, the Giants then securing the playoffs last week with the win against the Colts could be hugely beneficial. It depends what kind of a guy Brian Daboll is. If he goes, nah, we want to take blood in the NFC East and make sure you're going through the wild card as well. Or does he go, right, I'm going to rest up everybody, because this is a Giants team that needs to rest to go to the playoffs. I mean, if I was the Giants, I'd be resting Saquon without a doubt. If he doesn't need to play, you do not put him in the game whatsoever. Yeah. Probably the same with Daniel Jones as well, because you don't want to lose your starting quarterback. And considering how beaten up that Giants team has been all year, I would have said the smart man takes the majority of the starters out of the game, maybe gives them a drive or two. Brian Daboll, on the other hand, is the hoorah coach.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem
really
in his nature.
Well.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, On that note, two more things for me before I shoot. Here's this. So they are resting guys, because I think about an hour ago I saw that they're planning to rest a lot of their starters. So there's some information for you if you didn't already know that. That's a there's that one. And number two, If you're the Seahawks and the Lions, I think the Seahawks have the number 3 pick, courtesy of, I forget who it was, the Broncos or something. And the Lions, I think, are top 6.
Yeah, do you not remember the Broncos mortgaged the whole
Their whole future, everything. George Payton, general manager, I actually did a little video on that today. I'm going to drop it later in the week. He used to blame for everything, but more on that later. Have Geno Smith and Jared Goff, bearing in mind, you don't always have to be the Pat Mahomes. You don't have to be the Josh Allen. You just got to be efficient and look after the ball. Let your weapons and your defense take care of things for you. Have those two guys done enough for their teams to not pick a quarterback in this draft? Bearing in mind, the quarterbacks in this draft, you know, there's a lot of hype, a lot of talk about them being guys for the future. But what's your take on that?
I think both of them will be starting next year. I wouldn't necessarily say that the Detroit Lions or the Seattle Seahawks will avoid taking a quarterback. I think this is one of my things that I'll always kind of stick by, of not just chucking in rookie quarterbacks in a first season, unless you really have to.
Yeah.
I always like to see a guy maybe sit for a bit. Like, compared what we saw with Bryce Love when he came in this season, when Rodgers dropped out of a game, he came in for a fourth quarter against the Eagles and actually threw some pretty decent balls, got a couple of touchdowns. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe there's going to be a bit of QB controversy in Green Bay. Compared to what we saw in his rookie year when he came in for a couple of games towards the end of the season late on. And you were like, oh, this is ugly.
Mm.
You can learn as a backup quarterback so much. I still think Pat Mahomes is a shining light of that, in the same way. Back to the guaranteed money thing, you can look at Pat Mahomes as the only shining light of huge, big contracts with quarterbacks that are worth that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting a guy for a year is not a bad thing at all. Having that in your back pocket, a great QB out of college, and also having a QB that has performed so well the previous season, and you say, look, you've got this year. This guy's here. We're going to build him up. He is a future. If you show us that you can get us in playoff football and give us competitive football in the playoffs, we don't need to go to this guy. And you've shown us that you can play football to this level. Now, what can you do next year? Because the NFL is a what have you done for me lately league.
Oh, yeah.
So Geno Smith has 8 bad games next year. Nobody's going, oh, do you not remember that Geno Smith season of 2022? Everyone's going, oh, Geno Smith's back. That's terrible. Yeah, same with Jared Goff. They've got priors of not being great in big moments. So I would definitely say they've done enough to warrant having a starting job next year at their franchises. I just don't think this is the horrible, like, players versus the business of a game.
Yeah.
And the business is, as an owner, if you can get a great young quarterback on one of those cheap rookie deals, you have that in your back pocket. And then it's there if you need to use it, or if it's good enough to be used straight away, it's a potential franchise game changer, like a Justin Herbert. But
oh, hold on. I believe we have some breaking news. Get that drum roll. All right, basically, Buffalo-Cincinnati game is cancelled and what it means for the NFL schedule. Now, I think we kind of knew it wasn't going to happen, I guess, but this is the official. If they meet again, it'll be in the playoffs. They've cancelled it altogether. I don't know. You might have some more information before me. I'm just reading it here now.
I'm just
still deciding on what changes they're going to make to the postseason. They've declared it a no contest. The league guaranteed Cincinnati a home playoff game. The Bengals are AFC North champions, as the Ravens cannot catch them in the standings, even with a win against Cincinnati in Week 18. The Bengals will be the AFC's number 2 or 3 seed. The Ravens will be number 5 or 6. So the decision also means that Kansas City Chiefs can clinch a conference number 1 seed, which is what we mentioned earlier, if they beat the Raiders. So for people playing fantasy football and all that, you're going to start your starters because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to want to win and get the number 1 seed.
Mm.
Both the Bengals and the Bills had a chance to claim, obviously, home field advantage had they won their final 2 games. And Cincinnati also needed Kansas to lose Saturday's game for the number 1 seed. There's a lot of information here, but the Bills obviously had to control its own destiny. So, there's a lot of information, but essentially been cancelled. And it is a clear competitive disadvantage for the Bills that has already been through so much this year. 2 snowstorms, significant disruption to the season, and obviously they've had the traumatic injury to Hamlin. Fingers crossed that we said he's on the up. The last word here is about the speculation about what's next. The regular season schedule is locked in. Doesn't mean the postseason schedule won't change. I think, like you kind of mentioned, the NFL is looking at ways to restore the competitive fairness that was lost by the decision to cancel the game. Looking at potential changes, potential seedings and schedule, and it's got to be approved by the NFLPA. And if the NFL talk is accurate, they're thinking outside of the box. Everything from adding an eighth team to the field to hosting the conference championship. Jesus. Adding an eighth team to the field to hosting the conference championship game on a neutral field, which if the game involves two of the Bengals.
Yeah, I heard this. I heard about the idea of the conference championship if it involves either the Bengals or the Bills.
Yeah,
that they would move it to a neutral ground because they haven't had the chance to compete to have the number one seed and have the home field advantage. Adding an eighth team in.
So there's no bye week then. That's what I'm going to say. So that doesn't matter whether the
Chiefs win or not on the Saturday.
So then how does that, I find that strange because the Chiefs and Andy Reid, et cetera, are going to want to know because if they need to go for that number one seed, Kelce, McKinnon, Juju Smith-Schuster, they're going to play these guys because they want that number one seed. But if you're talking about adding an eighth team, then why does it matter?
Yeah, you're either going to play a seventh or eighth seed. You're going to be the one of the top two in the conference. So also, you are changing the playoff format at a last minute's notice. And don't get me wrong, the NFL will never, ever remove teams from the playoffs, I think, once they've put an eighth game in. Because they're just going, right, we've got another game of wild card football to come, which will go on TV, which will get a bigger audience. But that then negates so much of the regular season. Like, what's the point in teams trying to get a number one seed if you don't get a bye anymore? Oh, great, you play the eighth.
That's strange. That is strange. Everything from adding an eighth team to the field to hosting the conference championship on a neutral field involving two of the Bengals, Bills, or Chiefs. Wow, that is, well, don't know what to say on that one. A lot of teams will probably be thinking, like you've just said, what, you know, if you're going to add an eighth team, it kind of just negates everything. Again, it
doesn't matter what the Eagles do this week. Like, and it, would that only would that only be to the AFC? Or would the NFC have to then have an eighth team as well?
Wow, I'm going to try and find a bit more. I mean, I forget what my point was earlier. I guess it was about Geno and the reason I asked that question for Geno and Goff just because obviously it affects where the Colts, what they do with their picks. If all, if you know, Houston taking QB, if the Lions and the Lions and the Seahawks do too, maybe we end up with Will Levis that people are talking about, but. Yeah, a bit of breaking news there.
Was that the press release that just came through?
Yeah, that was Pro Football Focus. Oh, no, Pro Football Network. I'm just having a look at official NFL right now.
It's not on there at all.
No, it isn't.
Hamlin, remarkable improvement.
That's interesting.
And Rap Sheet's not even had it either on Twitter. I started scanning around Bills, NFL, Rap Sheet. It's not there at all, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is strange. There's nothing else that's come up.
No.
But I normally everything else comes up a bit quicker than that. Let me see. If anything else. Let's have a quick.
If Rap Sheet and Schefter don't have it.
And you normally, I mean, you would. Strange. Very strange. Yeah, no, I've just. Oh, no, hold on. Let me just have another look real quick.
No, Schefter's thing 33 minutes ago is the last one that Derek Henry has been. Removed from the injury report and they're all ready to play in Saturday's AFC South deciding game against the Jags. Oh yeah, we haven't even talked about the Jags against the Titans. And it's funny you mentioned Nyheim Hines and like, oh, you know, we get dunked on by the Titans. Isn't that terrible? Well, it's even more terrible when the Titans are dunking on themselves for the back end of the season and throwing away an easy division.
Oh no.
Unbelievable. Just quickly, by the way, I wanted to ask you about the contract one.
Yes.
You were talking about Lamar. So Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Disgusting Watson both got their big money deals, guaranteed contracts. And I think a lot of people would look at the Cousins one as well and said that was another one that put owners off guaranteed money and really big guaranteed money for QBs. And Mahomes is the only one to kind of really get one of those big deals and is living up to it for sure. Mm-hmm. Is Lamar Jackson, therefore... Watson got it probably unfairly. Cousins got it because of the timing that he was in with it with the Vikings. Is Lamar Jackson worth that sort of money to a team?
I'm going to say yes, purely because unlike Kirk Cousins, Lamar can win a game off his own back. He can single-handedly take over games like we've seen him do before, with or without weapons, off his own back. If it means he's got to run the ball on his own with eight man boxes or whatever you want to do, he's capable of winning that. Otherwise, I would say no, but purely because of his ability, his skill, his extreme ability to be agile and literally just single-handedly take over games, which Cousins cannot do. He cannot do that. Yeah. It's not, I think his deal was $100 million some time ago now, fully guaranteed. I
mean, it was a long way back, but yeah.
And it was the first of its kind, right?
First ever fully guaranteed contract.
So I'm going to say yes, just because when you have that level of play in your locker, where it almost, I mean, look at their team has been decimated once again, from receivers all the way down to their running back, defensively to a level two, but you can still win games off your own back. Then I think that kind of, it's kind of how I suppose the Browns thought they were going to get that level of play from Watson. Obviously,
they still might from that.
They might, you know, turn around and be like, well, look, we paid that money, but look what we've got. But he's, you know, that's for another day. But I'm going to say yes, just because, again, when you bring that to the table, not a lot of QBs can say they can do that. Patrick Mahomes can do that. And yes, he's another one who got that fully guaranteed money. I don't know really anybody else who I can say.
But that's my point of, like, I don't think Lamar is in the Mahomes spectrum. And I would say Mahomes at this point is out there on his own.
I agree.
And if I was an owner, I wouldn't be looking at Lamar now and thinking, let's throw the bucket at him, guaranteed money. Especially because of now the injury question marks come up again. I completely agree with the game changer aspect. And he can take over and use his athletic ability and all of the weapons that he has available to him in his own skill set to run a game for the Baltimore Ravens. But I think he's rolled the dice at a very dangerous time almost.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's going to get that
the six
contract that he wants. I don't think the guaranteed money's going to come in.
Yeah, that was the fear, and like I said, a lot of people had their opinions on it, and you know, a lot of NFL analysts like Ryan Clark, they wanted him to just take the money, get the bag, so to speak, just because of things like this. You know, the owners are put off as it is, and now you've, you know, back-to-back seasons where you've not, and it's not his fault. You get hurt. You know, no one's a Superman. But in this particular climate where, you know, he's chasing the big bag and you kind of want to see a bit more on the field to kind of back that up, I don't know what happens from here. And whether he does stay or not, it's going to be an interesting offseason because the league is QB starved and there's a lot of moving parts this coming offseason. So I think it's going to be one to watch for the ages.
Yeah, it's QB starved, but there's fresh blood always coming in as
massively,
well.
Massively.
And you never know what, I mean, Brock Purdy, he's going to take the Niners to a Super Bowl. I don't like it.
It's possible. It's very possible, and it's looking likely every time I see him play.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was so glad that the Raiders at least put a chill up them last week.
That was crazy, right?
What a game. Nobody sees the Raiders suddenly pulling that out of the bag. You bring in your backup QB, and you suddenly go toe-to-toe with what is probably the best team in the NFC right now. I hate saying
that. I do like it. I mean, I can't blame the guy. He's gone from Mr. Irrelevant to the relevant man of the NFL, so all props to him, and he's taking it in his stride too.
Stick with him if Garoppolo gets ready and fit back in the playoffs. Oh man,
if it ain't broke, you know. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because Garoppolo was there not last season before, and if not for, I don't know if it's Brandon Ayuk, I can't remember, who just fumbled that ball into the arms of the Kansas City guys, they would have been in the Super Bowl. That's a good question. It's a great question.
If Garoppolo doesn't overthrow one pass in the Super Bowl in Miami, they win it against.
And
if Jaquiski Tartt doesn't drop the interception last year,
that was. I don't know. I think it's tough, isn't it? Purdy's done really well, and he's got the chemistry. The players love him, and he is showing that he can do it. So I would be tempted to stick with him. It's a tough one because you obviously got Trey Lance waiting in the wings for when he gets healthy too. I mean, he will be the guy moving forward.
I think all of this, and again, we touched on it last week, of when Lance was in, there were a lot of injuries around the 49ers and they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and that really doesn't help. But I think as well, Purdy and Garoppolo have come in and statistically outperformed Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily say done in San Fran, but I don't think he's getting the start next year. I think it'll be one of those two. Like, they're going to have a three-way QB controversy going into next year if they don't ship somebody out or move somebody on or something like that. And Lance might be the one that gets moved on somewhere.
Then, if not for Purdy, I think maybe it would have been a slightly easier decision. But I think they made Garoppolo the highest paid backup when I think it was $10 million or something. I don't know how much it was. And, you know, you do that for a reason. And lo and behold, in he steps and it's basically like last season all over again. He's the singing hero and then he breaks his leg or breaks his ankle, whatever it is. And now Step Purdy, you know, you don't want to have to pay three of your guys any kind of decent money. So someone's going to have to go. And I do think you're right. Probably will be Lance. I said this to someone else before earlier on in the season that I thought Lance was going to be out and they kind of convinced me that Lance was going to be back in. But now I'm thinking, look, Purdy's getting it done. You got maybe you keep Garoppolo as your guy or keep Purdy as a guy and Garoppolo backs him up again. You can't keep all three. Someone's got to go.
You can have Jimmy G as your backup, the experienced elder statesman that you know what he brings. You can have Purdy as your brand new, cheap, 4 years left on the deal, Mr. Irrelevant contract. And then Trey Lance is, what, this will be his third year next year?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man.
It's just Indianapolis. There you go. You want the mobility guy.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of talk.
You see, you're not in on Trey Lance that much. That laugh says it all.
I didn't see enough, man. I didn't see enough to be like, look, you know, we got a good draft pick. I'd rather we used it for once on a quarterback. We need other positions to fill. But let's stop the damn quarterback game. I've had enough of it. So is the league. And so is every damn Colts fan out there. So let's get a QB and let's build around that.
George, where can everybody find your stuff, man?
George on Sports across everything, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. I got my podcast, which is predominantly on YouTube right now, but that will be on Spotify and all other podcast platforms very soon, I promise. I keep saying it and I go to work on it, then I get distracted and I'm always jumping ship doing something different. But George on Sports across everything. And stay tuned. Yeah, we've got some more episodes coming up. And it's player football. So, you know, good news for Damar Hamlin. That's given everybody a lift, hopefully anyway. And hopefully he continues to recover. And whether or not he does play again, the main thing is he's healthy and well.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Cheers, buddy. Have a good night.
No problem. Thank you.